Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is a podcast that's aimed at the heart of women who love being a mom. Or maybe it's for those of you who wish you were a mom. You're just aching to be a mom, but it hasn't happened to you yet. This is a podcast that's going to be for those of you who are empty nesters. You wish you could do it all over again, and your heart is still turning toward that singular occupation and calling known as motherhood. This is a podcast for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. Your daily life is about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, about potty training, about driver's permits. It seems like you are mired every day in the sludge of what being a mom is all about. This is Carol McLeod, and welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. One of my delights in doing this podcast is to introduce you to all of the great mom friends that I've made over the years. Suzanne Kuhn has become one of my dearest friends. She is a warrior on her knees. She is a creative genius and just a whole lot of fun to be with. And let me tell you, if you're traveling, you want to travel with Suzanne Kuhn and her very large basket of snacks. There's nothing like it. Suzanne never travels with less than 10 pair of shoes. I exaggerate not. Last time we went away together, she had, I believe it was 18 pair of shoes with her. She always has colorful glasses to shape her sparkling brown eyes. And you know what else she has in her bag of tricks? A crinoline or two. That's right. I have a friend who wears crinolines. Suzanne didn't start out by being the mighty woman of faith that she is today. She was an unwed mother at only 17 years old, but found the Lord in that season of her life. You're going to love Suzanne's story, and I hope that it gives you hope for those of you who are praying for your teenage children. But before we get started with Suzanne's story, let me just remind you that I love to hear from you. I really do. This is not just a platitude, but I love to hear from the people who listen to the weekly podcast. My email address is carol@carolmcleodministries.com. Oh, you don't know how to spell McLeod? Let me tell you. It's MC capital LEOD. carolmcleodministries.com. You know, I am the mother of 5 grown children, and now I am Marmy. In your term, it might be grandmother to the 7 wonders of my world. And so through this motherhood journey, you can imagine what I have experienced. I've experienced easy things and hard things, joyful things, discouraging moments, things I want to remember and things I would like to forget. But I'd love to share with you from my heart some of the wisdom I have learned on this mothering journey. So send me your questions. Nothing is off limits. And I'd love to answer you right here on the podcast. And also, on The Joy of Motherhood, I always like to tell you about one of the books that I've written. You know, the podcast lasts 20 to 30 minutes, but I want to leave a deposit in your life that lasts beyond that 20 to 30 minutes. And so I like to tell you about the books that I've written. Each book has its own particular birth story, and each book was generally conceived when I was reading the Word of God. And the book I want to tell you about today as we approach the holiday season is the Christmas devotional that I wrote last year entitled, Let There Be Joy. You know, when God created the world, His first spoken words were, let there be light. Remember that in Genesis chapter 1? And I believe that when God the Father sent Jesus the Son to this broken world, what He said was, let there be joy, because in His presence there is fullness of joy. I am a Christmas-aholic and have been since I was just a little girl. I love everything about this season, about Christmas. I love the music and the gift-giving and the decorations and the baking. But the thing I love most is Jesus. And that's what this Christmas devotional will give to your frustrated, busy season of Christmas. This is the book that I believe I was born to write. And if the holiday season frustrates you, you need to give yourself an early Christmas gift and buy a copy of Let there be joy. And while you're at it, buy a copy for a couple of the Scrooges or the Grinches in your life who also need a good dose of Christmas. You can buy the book, Let There Be Joy, at my website, which is carolmcleodministries.com, or at Barnes & Noble, cbd.com, or amazon.com. And let me just remind you, if you do go to amazon.com to do any shopping year-round, click on Amazon Smile, because in there, there's a place that if you write in the name of your chosen charity, Amazon will actually make a donation to them. You don't pay for it. Amazon does. So would you type in Carol McLeod Ministries? That's MC, capital LEOD. And Amazon will actually make a gift in your honor to my ministry. Win-win for all of us, right? But now let's get started. Let's get started with Suzanne, the crinoline wearer's amazing story. This is the story of how one woman went from rebellious to resilient. Here is Suzanne Kuhn. Hello, this is Carol McLeod, and you are listening to The Joy of Motherhood. And listen, I probably say this way too often, but I couldn't be more excited about my guest today. I'm actually looking at her, and I don't know whether to laugh or cry, because I just know we're going to have so much fun together. But she is my dear, dear friend, Suzanne Kuhn, and she is the mother of three grown children, and she's got a story. She's also an author promoter. She's an author herself, and she loves the Lord, and she loves helping women walk in their destiny and really live well. So, Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure and my joy.
That's right. It is your joy. So before we really get into your story, I like to ask a couple fun questions.
Oh, of course.
And I don't prepare you for it. It's just sort of on the spot. Your first response, okay?
I'm good with that.
Okay. Mr. Rogers or Captain America?
Do I really have to pick?
Can I
have a blend? Okay, Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. Okay, okay. Christmas or the 4th of July?
Christmas.
Disney World or the beach?
Oh, without doubt, Disney World.
Okay, watch a movie or read a book?
Watch a movie.
Okay. Did you ever feed your kids cheese puffs for breakfast?
No, sadly, my kids missed out on that.
Really? So what's the strangest thing you ever fed your kids for breakfast? Do you know? Do you have anything?
You know, so I've always been a little bit unconventional.
Really? We do breakfast. I didn't know that about you.
We do. We do breakfast for dinner. We'll do dinner for breakfast. So the oddest thing, I'm not sure. Maybe an artichoke?
Really? An artichoke. There you go. There you go.
My kids were toddlers and they were eating artichokes.
Unique taste buds, for sure.
Made sure they loved vegetables.
You know, the reason I ask some of these crazy questions is to make moms feel better about themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
And about their choices. Yeah. But Suzanne does have a mother story. We all have a mom story. And Suzanne's mom story started when she was about 17 years old.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us what happened.
Okay. So I'm a little bit of a cliche. I got pregnant at my junior prom, and so I had my first child before I met my husband, and she was born when I was 17. Yes.
So you sort of grew up together.
Yes, very much so.
So in the beginning, you lived at home with your mom and dad?
Yes. So I lived at home with my parents. But even to back up a little bit, if I may.
Sure.
I wasn't sure because I was a teen mom. I really wrestled with what would be the best for my child. And back then you didn't really know whether you're having a boy or girl. And so for me, I actually considered placing her for adoption. I really spent a lot of time just praying about it and seeking God. And so I actually went to an unwed mother's home for 6 weeks. And that was really instrumental in me becoming a mom, because it got me into an environment where I didn't really know other people, but I had good counsel. And I was really in a biblical, God-honoring setting where I had people around me. And so it was then that I really, in about a six-week span, realized that, no, I believe that God would help me and that the right path for me would be to keep my child, which turned out to be a daughter.
Right.
When I left the unwed mother home, I did go back to live with my parents at that point. Yes.
And so you gave birth to this beautiful little girl.
Yes.
Did you graduate from high school then?
I did. So one of the unique things that happened with me is this particular unwed mother home, it allowed me to take school. And I was only 2 credits short of being able to graduate. And so I was able to take those 2 credits while I was on site during those 6 weeks. And then I actually had a marvelous high school counselor. And she said, Suzanne, what we're going to do is, because it's an accredited program, we're going to have those credits transferred back up here, and you're going to get to graduate 6 months early from high school. And so that's what I was able to do. So I actually was able to graduate. I had that experience. And then,
And then what happened, Suzanne, because that wasn't the end of your mom's story, but the Lord was so gracious and he did something incredible and just a couple years later for you.
Yes. So I met my husband.
Right.
We actually met at church. So
good place to meet, sister.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So my husband and I met at church, and he was a little bit older, but had never been married. And honestly, I didn't know right away, but it didn't take long for me to see that this was the man God had for me. And more importantly, for my heart at that time in particular, he adored my daughter, and she adored him. And so I saw that as well, which that was a big piece to it. So when my oldest daughter was 2 and a half, we got married. And when my husband, Sean, proposed to me, he actually proposed to me, but then he also got my daughter, a ring and proposed to her as well, and asked if he could be her daddy, which just, it makes me want to cry even now how beautiful that was. So
he adopted her, didn't he?
Yes. And so then shortly after our marriage, because we had to wait until we were married in the state that we live in, they wouldn't allow us to start the process sooner than when we were married. But literally, the moment we got back from a honeymoon, which she went with us, the moment we got home, we began that process. And so shortly thereafter, he adopted her and she became a Kuhn like the rest of us. And yes, and he has been her daddy ever since. Actually, she was so excited when Sean asked us if he could be part of our lives that she immediately said, "Can I call you daddy?" Mm. You know, in that little toddler, 2 and a half year old voice. And so she, before we were ever even married, had already begun to call her daddy. And if I may just, if you'll indulge me here.
Sure.
So, you know, the big moment at a wedding usually that we dream about is when we enter and our groom sees us. Well, my daughter, our daughter, she stole the thunder. And so she actually was the flower girl in our wedding. And she walked down the aisle, she paused at one of our nephews and patted his face. And then she turned and she saw Sean and she ran to him with her arms wide open and said, "Daddy." Oh. And everybody was like, "What bride?" And that's as it should be. That's just kind of how our family's always been.
That you entered your marriage with Sean and he was head over heels in love with you and your daughter.
Yes, absolutely.
But that's not the end of your mom's story.
Oh, no.
Because then God gave you and Sean how many more children?
We had two more children. So we made a decision for us that because Becca was already the age she was, that we would go ahead and if God would allow, we would try for more kids right away. So we had our first child that's biologically ours, both of ours. We had him at 11 months into our marriage.
Okay. So that there's just only about three and a half years
yes.
between those two.
Yes.
And then you had another daughter.
Yes. And then we had another daughter, our youngest. Uh-huh. And she came just about 2.5, 3 years later as well. Yes.
So now I want to ask you some personal questions because I know that there are, you know, stepmoms out there or moms who have gone through what you went through, been a single mom, remarried. Did you ever observe a difference in the way Sean loved Becca, the oldest, as in the way he loved the other two? Were you ever concerned about that?
Not for a moment. And I know that other families struggle with that.
Right.
And even their child that has been adopted will have some concerns or issues and some insecurities. But no, actually, our family, I can't even say it was so blended because we've seen no differences. In fact, we don't really even remember it unless we're in a circumstance like this where we're being asked because it's part of our story and it's a beautiful story. But Becca always knew that Sean never met her until she was 2.5 years old. So we never hid anything. But no, there's really no difference. And our other kids the same way. We're siblings. You know, mom and dad, they scar us and love us all the same.
They make mistakes and do good things to all of us.
Absolutely.
Yes. So what hope would you give to a single mom right now, whether she's never been married or maybe she's been divorced or widowed? What hope would you give her and what words of advice would you give her on her journey?
So I think for me, I'll go back to when I was at that unwed mother home, because that was so instrumental in my life. There was a church associated with it. And one Sunday morning I was in the church and I don't even remember if it was the home pastor that was preaching or if it was a guest pastor. I really don't remember, but I remember this moment where the pastor said something in a long line of other things. And he said, God will be your husband. God will be your father. And I just felt like those two statements, they were for me and for my child. And so I think for me, that was reconciled at that moment. And that was actually the defining moment where I just knew that keeping Becca and walking that path was the right one for me. And for Becca. But I think, you know, as a single mom, it can be hard, but I think it also is important to understand that God is that. And yes, we can long for hope and love and long for and hope for love and having that counterpart and, you know, the two shall become one. But in all actuality, for me, my ability, I believe, to really love Sean had to first come from me understanding that God would be our provider and that God would be her daddy and that God would be my husband. And that set me up to be in a place that when I met Sean, I could see him for who he was, a godly man, a man after God's own heart, and a man that loved my daughter and loved me. But I think without that one piece of being secure with that peace with God, I think that would have been a little bit more challenged. So my hope or my advice that I would give is to really focus on your walk with God and get that plumb line right with him.
I love that. That is great advice for a single mom.
Yes.
A divorced mom, a widowed mom, to delight yourself in the Lord.
Yes.
To find your sustenance from him. Because Suzanne, even those of us who have been happily married for a long time, we can't expect our joy to come from our husbands. It comes from a relationship with the Father, with yes. the Lord. And when we get it from Him, then it makes marriage even better. It makes yes. motherhood even better when yes. you're doing that. Okay, so Suzanne, let me ask you this. What is the biggest mistake you ever made as a mom? Like, what's the thing you just put your hand to your head and say, I cannot believe I did that. What was I thinking?
So if my kids are listening to this, I'm thinking, I wonder what they would say. So here's the deal. It's a little bit of a challenge for me because I've made so many face palm blunders to choose just one. I've had those moments where I forgot to pick them up from school because I was distracted. And I got the call and said, Mrs. Kuhn, your kids are here waiting for you. I've forgotten important moments, or my tongue can get me in trouble. So maybe, not even maybe, I've had moments where I have said something harsh or insensitive. But the biggest one, I don't think I can choose just one because quite frankly, I've had a lot of blunders and my kids can tell lots of stories on me. And they're welcome to.
Yeah. And you know, the reason I always ask that question, or I often ask it, is because moms who are listening are sitting there in the mess of motherhood and all they can see are the mistakes they've made.
Yes.
And for those of us who have gone before and we haven't eternally warped our children, we've made mistakes. There are things that we wish we could do over. But I always say, if you can land at the end of the day in a place of unconditional love and forgiveness, you're a good mom.
Well, I believe that. I do have a really quick story. So this might not have been my biggest blunder, but my kids will never, ever let me live this down. So we had received a jar of what I thought was assorted vegetables, like a succotash. Turns out it was not. So I heated it up in... on the stove, and I served it for dinner. And Sean and I were headed out that night, and so I was trying to feed the kids before we went. And we just always wanted our kids to eat their vegetables, and my kids love vegetables. So I'm serving it up, and I'm saying, you have to have at least a no thank you portion. And the kids are just revolting. They do not want to eat it. So I finally say, there is nothing wrong with this. It doesn't taste funny. You're wrong. And you need to finish this. And one of my kids looked at me, I don't remember which one, and they said, Mom, would you please taste it? And I tasted it and realized it was not succotash, it was chow chow. And it was horrendous. So I have never lived that down. Anytime something comes out of a canned jar, like somebody canned it in their home, my kids will say, are you sure this is what you're telling us it is?
Oh, I love it. All families have stories like that. Yes. Okay, now before we close, what's the one thing that you know you did well? What's the one thing, as you look back at your journey of motherhood, that you know you did right?
I think my kids all know that they are deeply loved by Sean and by me and by God. Recently, and I don't know what prompted this, but in a short span of about 6 months, each of our children have come back to us individually and said to me, I don't know why they came to me first, but first to me, and said, Mom, thank you for very intentionally creating memories with us. Thank you for very intentionally making sure we knew that we were loved. And they also then in that, and I don't know why they all said the same thing, but it was uncanny to me. And it was, thank you for providing us a childhood that was safe, and a childhood that we can look back on and not have a lot of regret. And that has been a tremendous gift that my kids have given me recently. So yeah, I think our kids knew that we were flawed, because we are flawed, hugely flawed. But we have even fought, but we fought to love one another as a family. Mm-hmm. And that's been really important.
I love what you just said. We fought to love one another as a family. So through the easy days and the hard days of mothering, perhaps that's the greatest secret, to fight to love each other, to fight to love the people who live at your address.
Yes.
Well, Suzanne, thank you for joining me. I know we could probably talk for another half hour or so, but how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website? Like what's up with you?
I do. So right now, everything kind of channels through my business website, which is suzyq4u.com. It's S-U-Z-Y, the letter Q, the number 4, the letter U.com. I am, as an author, you can find me as Suzanne Brooks Kuhn. My last name is spelled K-U-H-N. And that website is being put together behind the scenes right now. So main way to connect with me at the moment will be suzyq4u.com.
Yeah, and go check out our website. It's creative. It's fun. As I said, she is an author promoter like me. She loves books. Oh, so what's your favorite kids book?
Favorite kids book. Oh, okay. So I would have to say it's Karen Kingsbury's Let Me Hold You Longer.
Yes, I love that book.
That's my favorite.
Oh, moms, if you haven't discovered that book,
oh, you have
buy
to
buy it today.
Yes.
Karen Kingsbury's Let Me Love You Longer and read it with a box of tissues.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the must.
That's the must. Suzanne, thank you for being with me. And thank you for joining us on The Joy of Motherhood. And as always, I'll see you next time. Well, I hope that Suzanne's story encouraged you that we serve a God who intervenes in all of our lives. Doesn't that give you hope? Maybe some of you are praying for your kids. We serve a God who intervenes. Well, as always, I'd love to pray for you. So send me your prayer requests at carol@carolmcleodministries.com. Mom, you are important to the kingdom of God at your moment in history. Never doubt it. Anything that concerns you today concerns Him as well. Thank you for joining me today on The Joy of Motherhood. You can do this, Mom. You've got what it takes to mother the children you've been given because He is more than enough.